This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za.
Beyond the headlines, information and conversation. Power 98.7 on 103.6 in the south of Johannesburg, 104.4 in the Vaal, and 107.2 in Ekurhuleni. Now we're talking.
All right, at 18 minutes to 2 o'clock, we shift our focus to this conversation now. Waysman Hamilton from the Executive Committee of the Marxist Workers' Party rally support for the Youth Rights Campaign, otherwise known as the YRC in Nigeria, which demands an end to the brutal repression of protesters from August demonstrations against escalating hunger and social crises. Under the hashtag End Bad Governance banner, the YRC faces a crackdown with some leaders being harassed and detained as 39 activists languish in Kuje prison. Hamilton seeks solidarity to confront this apartheid-style oppression. Mr. Hamilton, good morning to you again. Thank you very much. It's always such a pleasure to conversate with you.
Good morning and good morning to our listeners. Thank you for the opportunity once again.
Absolutely. If you could give us some more context as to what the current situation in Nigeria is like against the backdrop of those demonstrations back in the month of August.
Yeah, first of all, the protests were organized under the banner called End Bad Governance in Nigeria. And just to give you a sense of what it is that the protesters were raising and demanding an end to. Nigeria is the world's 15th largest oil producer. It's not a poor country. And yet, in a population of 230 million, 160 million live in poverty. We have a country that obtained its independence in 1960. And yet, to this day, still imports fuel. Because the ruling elite has all these years failed even to develop refining capacity. The result is fuel that should be costing very little, cost astronomical amounts for the ordinary Nigerian. The elite in Nigeria live in disgusting luxury. The five richest people, their combined wealth could end poverty in Nigeria. It's 112 million people, as I said, out of 230 who live in poverty. The richest man in Nigeria would require to spend $1 million a day for 42 years to exhaust his fortune. Those are extreme levels of inequality. In the rural areas, for example, women represent between 60 and 70% of the population. And yet, three quarters of them have never been to school. 94% of them are illiterate. The new government, when it came to power, wasted no time, Dinubi's government, in demonstrating what its priorities are. They set aside a budget for the purchase of a presidential air fleet, a presidential yacht, bulletproof cars for the president and his wife, renovation of the official residences of the president and the vice president, sports utility vehicles for every MP at the cost of $150 per vehicle for 460 MPs. When the minimum wage is $40. For a family of four to buy rent, I mean to pay rent, requires $2,000. I'm just using US dollars as a a point of reference.
Right.
So it is against these kind of conditions. I mean, the government pretended that it's doing something about a student loan scheme, for example. But the amount that was set aside for the presidential jet is the equivalent of the student loan scheme. So it's a government that is dedicated to the enrichment of an already parasitic elite, and people have had enough.
Right.
And that is the reason that over 10 organizations came together in August, including the Youth Rights Campaign, that is an initiative of our sister organization, the Democratic Socialist Movement, a fellow affiliate of the Committee for the Workers International, as the Marxist Workers Party is, and many other organizations together came together to protest under the ban of end bad governance. The government has reacted with apartheid-style repression. A number of demonstrators were killed. 39 are currently in jail. And the government, again, the regime attempted to show some respect for democratic rights by offering to release the jailed on bail. But they set the conditions for bail at such a level that it is virtually impossible to comply. Nigerian currency is 10 million naira. In South African rands, 105,000. But even more outrageously, you have to provide property, a proof of ownership of property as collateral in Abuja in order to qualify to go on bail. In effect, people remain in jail for that reason.
Right.
And that is why we are calling upon individuals, organizations, the trade unions, to write letters of protest, commission. All the details are available on our website, www.marxistworkersparty.org.za, and find the details and write letters of protest to the Nigerian government, demanding an end to repression. And I think it is particularly important for South African trade unions and social movement organizations, student formations, to put their weight behind the campaign for an end to the suppression because of the striking resemblance in the methods of repression used by the Nigerian regime and what we were accustomed to under apartheid, including detention without trial, including people being arrested blindfolded on the orders of the security minister, the advisor to the president, being beaten up in prison, and the government posturing as if it takes its own law seriously so far as the treatment of the activists is concerned.
Yeah.
We should follow the example of, for example, the British Trade Union Council has passed a resolution calling for an end to the repression and, as we used to say in the days of apartheid, charge or release. Now, some of the charges are absolutely astounding. For merely having the words "end bad governance" on a placard, activists have been charged with treason.
Sure.
And that is an indication of the attitude of the ruling elite of entitlement to the wealth that they are stealing on a day-to-day basis. And who, by the way, when their behavior lead to some kind of action, they are treated with the utmost leniency, reducing the whole criminal justice system to a mere charade and a mockery of what it is that one would expect.
Yeah.
So they're not subjected, you know, to the outrage of the kind of demands that the 39 activists still in jail are getting. We also demand a proper inquiry involving the trade unions into the killings that took place during the demonstration.
Yeah. And if I may also, you know, it's been over a year now since President Tinubu assumed office. You know, have things in your view perhaps gone, you know, to a very, very sour position where the standpoint of the country is concerned? And I speak about this in the context of you describing perhaps how the government has responded to these particular demonstrations, but also on a broader scale, Mr. Hamilton, looking at other African countries. You look at Kenya, for example, where we saw those recent demonstrations there and the violence that was meted out against demonstrators there and those that were protesting. So what is the sense in which you may be getting just in terms of African leaders and how they're dealing with particularly maybe even young people that are taking to the streets, that are choosing to be vocal about some of these crises as well as social ills and issues?
I think that that's a very important question and observation that you are making about the similarities in the social economic and political processes unfolding across the continent and indeed internationally. And I think that what we are witnessing is a new generation, particularly of young people, who are drawing a line under the predatory behavior of the political and economic elites, particularly in the post-independence period. We've seen how Kenyan students have recognized, there have been some striking videos by Kenyan students who point to the fact that not only are the ruling elite dedicated to continuing on the basis of their sense of entitlement to amass enormous wealth while millions live in poverty, but they're acting as the agents of capitalist multinationals plundering the resources of their own country. The continent remains, by and large, as is the neo-colonial world, as a matter of fact, a source of the extraction of raw materials and the importer of finished goods. And we have an arrangement of the world economy dominated by the capitalist West, in which they are kind enough to fill the gap between the little that is received by the neo-colonial world in export earning for their raw materials and the deficit that is created by the cost of the importation of finished goods by saying, well, we have a bank for you, the IMF and the World Bank. So if you don't have enough money to import cars and luxury goods and even basic goods, we can lend you some money. But the IMF and the World Bank are not Father Christmas. They lend at interest. And in order to try and avoid a default, the governments make a priority of the repayment of the interest and meet the conditions of the IMF. And what are these conditions? That you prioritize the servicing of your debt. And if that means that you must cut subsidies and budgets for education, for health, for housing, and even for food, so be it. And that is what has sparked the revolt. It led to the overthrow, the near overthrow of the Sri Lankan government 2 years ago. The president had to flee. The president of Bangladesh had to do the same. And we are headed in a similar direction in countries across the African continent, because of the unequal terms of trade imposed by Western imperialism on the neo-colonial world. And what the youth have recognized is the complete incapacity of the ruling elites to undertake the proper development of their economies. Only the working class can organize that. And the entry of the youth onto the stage of struggle is the equivalent of the entry of the light infantry ahead of the heavy battalions of the working class in the next period. And we must follow the example of what has been done by our sister organization across the continent, but in Nigeria. Our comrades have taken the initiative of uniting the struggles of the youth and of the organized workers by launching the broad formation called the Socialist Party of Nigeria, and are appealing to the trade union members, to the communities and the youth to come together under its banner. We are attempting to do the same thing here because we have a similar problem so far as inequality is concerned and the prioritization of the servicing of the foreign debt in South Africa, where 20% of the annual budget goes towards the repayment of debt, the result of which the government has actually made a conscious decision not to allocate sufficient funds for the filling of teacher posts. For example, in the Western Cape government has decided that 2,407 posts should not be filled. And that has sparked the creation of the Western Cape Education Crisis Committee, bringing together learners, communities, as well as educators, which I think is an example of how to begin to assemble the forces out of which what we have been campaigning for as the Marxist Workers' Party, the creation of a mass workers' party and a socialist program, can be done. But a similar necessity has made itself felt in Nigeria, in Kenya, in Senegal, in Zambia. Zambia defaulted on its debt, by the way. Such is the burden that is placed on the population by the institutions of imperialism internationally. And therefore, it is time that the working class takes matters into their own hands. The elites have demonstrated that they are nothing but parasites leeching on the sweat and blood of working class people in Africa and across the neo-colonial world, and are determined to mimic the methods of exploitation and oppression of the working class that is beginning to express itself even in the advanced capitalist countries. The new Labour government in Britain, for example, has just decided to cut the fuel allowance. People die as a consequence. Old age pensioners, fuel allowance has been cut. So people are dying in the cold in their homes. If you have more than two children, you don't get any child benefit anymore in Britain. The Labour Party has become indistinguishable from the Conservative Party, and a new party of the working class in Britain is needed as much as it is in countries across the world. That is the conclusion that we must draw from the world in which we live, in which the ruling elites are not only intensifying the oppression and exploitation of working class people, but are also by their policies calling into existence the far right, the racist, even the fascists, by the way, and the xenophobes. Trump is openly accusing the Haitian population of Springfield of eating cats and dogs, promises that he's going to undertake the biggest deportations in American history, when in fact the American capitalist class is reliant on the immigrant population whom they can exploit, and the plundering of the countries by U.S. multinationals where those populations actually come from.
Yeah.
It requires the unity of working class people worldwide, including with immigrant populations, to stand against the elites in their own countries in order to create the conditions for this overthrow of capitalism and the socialist transformation of society. Yeah. So we want our listeners to please participate in the political school that the Marxist Workers' Party will be having on Saturday, where one of the leading activists from the Youth Rights Campaign and a leading member of the Democratic Socialist Movement will be updating us on the latest development on an online school that will be starting at 10 o'clock in the morning. And again, the details and the link to the school, it's an online school, are available on our website as well as on the Marxist Workers' Party Facebook page.
Okay. Ms. Hamilton, I want to thank you always for your in-depth insights into these really crucial matters. And as you said, I think people should really play their part in, I think, adding pressure to the Nigerian government to do right by these individuals. I mean, you've outlined conditions that really make it unfavorable for these activists to get to see the light of day, in essence, and get out of prison. But we really want to thank you for sharing, you know, your insights on this particular matter.
Thank you very much.
That's Wazeman Hamilton there. Of course, he is from the Executive Committee of the Marxist Workers' Party. Head on to that website to go see more details about how you can get involved and joining that school, which is set to take place, in fact, tomorrow. And we're speaking all things, of course, the hashtag End Bad Governance. Activists in Nigeria who we're told have been arrested, about 39 of them. And as I said, some of these conditions make it unfavorable for them to get out of prison. And, you know, Mr. Hamilton there lamenting and bemoaning the response of the Nigerian government. Of course, these were individuals who protested back in the month of August against issues of escalating hunger and the many social crises that Nigeria is facing. 3 minutes after 2 o'clock.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.